pest control industry is like no other. If you want to learn the strategy and tactics to grow your pest control business, you're in the right place. This is the Pesty Marketing Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Pesty Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Peluso, CEO of Pesty Marketing. And we are here with Derek, who has been a client of ours, not currently, because Derek is with All Solutions Pest Control. They sort of take advantage of the off season when things are slower and refocus their efforts internally. But I wanted to have Derek on to give us an understanding of what Derek and All Solutions does to help grow their pest control company. Derek, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your role at All Solutions and a little bit about how you ended up in the pest control industry?
Yeah. So, we started our pest control company back in 2015. So we're going on 8 years now. I guess I'm getting ready to go on nine. Not eight. I'm trying to remember, lose track of the time. But before here, I was doing marketing as kind of my background as well. Did online marketing, different things like that. Focused on Facebook and SEO and different strategies. And I married into a pest control family. So we started my brother is also doing some sales with Terminix. So him and I were talking, decided to go start our own pest control company. So we started it, but we had guidance from my wife's family. Her brother and her brother-in-law both have pest control companies. And they started back in like 2003, one of them, and the other one started back in 2012, I think. So when we were getting going, they helped give us guidance, kind of trained us on what to do and things like that. And I had actually done some marketing for pest control companies before. So we always wanted to start our own thing. So we decided, hey, let's go give it a try. And here we are today.
Nice. Okay. So family, it's in the family, which is cool. And that's interesting that you came to pest control with marketing experience, because I find that's probably one of the biggest areas of opportunity for most pest control companies, because no one knows about marketing internally, which causes, you know, a lot of struggle, especially early on. If you don't know how to grow your pest control company, you know, you can find yourself not a whole lot farther ahead a few years later than you were at the beginning. But you guys have grown to, I mean, how many customers do you have now? Because you have several locations. And
We're around 4,500 accounts for recurring. Like, those are not just one times. If you include one times, that's more. But recurring pest control that are quarterly, monthly billing, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, which is great, right? Because there's a lot. I mean, you have some pest control companies out there who are obviously much, much larger, and especially with a lot of the acquisitions that have been going on over the last three years.
Yes, we're not working our Terminix.
Yeah, no, but you guys are still on the larger side, I think, of most pest control operators that I speak with, who, you know, are probably still in the hundreds, right? To get to that 4,500 number, what are some of the things that have worked for you guys? You mentioned that you had a background in Facebook and SEO and marketing in general. You guys have great reviews online. So I'm sure your Google business profile and the local map pack has just crushed it for you guys. And the cost per lead, right, for those is super low, ultimately, because it just comes down to the quality of the service that you're providing and whether or not you're asking for reviews. But yeah, tell me a little bit about what you guys have done to grow and to... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so starting off, my brother and myself, and we had a couple other people, we actually started knocking doors. So I would do the operations. I'd go spray the houses, do the services. I did the local SEO, the local Facebook marketing, and things like that. But when you're starting, one of the best things to do to get customers was go knock doors. My brother had done some knocking on doors for Terminix. So we used kind of some of that skill set and that knowledge to go do it. Knocking doors is not my favorite thing, but I did it for the first year, and then he led the teams for a little bit after that. But that helped get us our initial customer base. And then after that, we just kept on growing. We've done a lot of different stuff with marketing. We've done from, we use you guys for like the AdWords, pay-per-click, things like that. We've done Facebook ads. We've done radio commercials. We've done billboards. We've done some TV commercials. We've done even mailers, believe it or not. And what we learned is a lot of marketing is just a combination of a lot of different things and try to tie it all together. So this last year, we tried to kind of rebrand, and we actually have green wheels on our truck. So a lot of our branding now with our radio ads and TV, we kind of talk a little bit about it. It's actually funny because sometimes I'll go out and somebody will make a little joke about it, And like, you know, because I heard the radio ad about you guys as Green Wills. It's like, you always see them coming. You can tell who you guys are. So it's helping us stand out a little bit from everybody else.
Yeah. And I love the Green Wheels because I find that most small business owners are afraid to stand out, if anything. You know, they're worried about the risk involved in that, whether or not something will work. So I love that you guys are leaning into, you know, a form of branding, essentially trying to be memorable, especially when you're the only ones in town doing something like that. It really does pop. I don't think I've ever seen a car that had any colored wheels, let alone the green that matches your guys's brand. I want to circle back to knocking doors because, like you mentioned, I think there are very few people in the world who actually enjoy knocking
doors. And we didn't knock doors last year or this year, but that's how we did do it the first few years to that. It's a great way to get started.
Totally. It is, right? Because you're only paying with your time and for paying customers. Whereas with most marketing channels, you know, especially something like paid search, you're paying per click. And that can be scary for people and or not even possible if you don't have a treasure chest of money to throw at marketing and figure out how it works. How did you figure out how to knock doors? You know, how did you even figure out where to get started? Was it because your brother had done it for Terminix? So he had an idea of how to pitch and maybe some strategies?
Yeah, so he had done some knocking before for Terminix and done some of that stuff with them. Also, like I said, my brother-in-law, I think knocked back at Orkin back in the early 90s, late 90s. So they had done with them, and that's kind of how they started theirs. He actually had him and three brothers started their business, and they all went out and started knocking doors, and they kind of stopped as well. But he said the first few years, the best thing to do is go out there because you can get your customers in like a neighborhood in a close area. And it's just great to build tight routes and all that kind of stuff. And then you actually have more money to put towards marketing. Like I said, the beginning, we still had a marketing budget. But the first year, the budget was pretty much, we did some Facebook, very basic AdWords. We had a small budget there. And then SEO, just because that was kind of my background. So it didn't cost as much. Obviously, we wanted to make sure you have a nice website. But ranking in the local pack for the first year or two was kind of our main stuff that we did, just because we didn't have a lot of extra money for advertising.
To set expectations for someone who might be considering going out to knock doors for themselves and wants to understand, am I doing it right? Am I not doing it right? How many sales would you expect to get in a day if you were to go out for whether it's half a day or a full day?
So it depends a lot on experience. If you've never knocked before, you're hoping for 1 to 2. If you know what you're doing and you've knocked before, then you could get 3 to 5. Some people could get more, but I'd say an experienced rep getting 3 to 5, maybe up to 6. But learning how to do what to say, overcoming those objections. Because if you just, the very first time somebody's like, oh, I already have something, I'm not interested, and you leave, you're going to leave a lot of sales on the door. But when you're first new, you can go through a lot more people. And we kind of call them just laydowns, people that just recently moved in, just very easy sales. You sign up, they're like, oh, awesome, sign me up. And if you just knock doors, you might get 1 to 2 of those a day. But when you're starting out getting 1 to 2 sales every single day, that's more than you're going to get sitting back and doing nothing. But it is mentally exhausting because you're going to get a lot of people saying no.
Yeah. And those numbers are working a full 8-hour day, give or take.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
And that's in my experience as well. That's about right. I was never a great door knocker.
Oh, you knocked doors? I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's how I started. I sold home security systems for Vivint for a summer. And then a friend of mine recruited me to go help him start his pest control company. So I did that for a couple of summers. And I was always in that, you know, if I worked a full day, I could maybe sell a couple or a few. But I worked with guys who they could go out and sell 4, 5, 6, even 7 in a day. And you're just amazed at the, you know, their skills, but they were just really, really, really good at sales and at those relationships that you could build on the doors.
Anything, somebody trying to do it on their own, you have to just make sure you actually go out there and do it. As a sole operator, it's easy to go out there for an hour or two, like, oh, I haven't gotten anything. Well, yeah, you've only knocked for 2 hours. And it's easy to justify, oh, I can go do some other stuff. But really, if you're just starting out, you got to put the time in on the doors.
Totally. And you've tried, I think unique to your situation at 4,500 customers is that you've tried so many different marketing channels. I have yet to have a discussion with someone at your size who has tried so many different things. You mentioned that it's really the combination of several channels at once that lead to success with marketing, right? Because if someone is hearing from about your company, you know, through a radio commercial, through a TV commercial, they're seeing your trucks. That right there is a type of branding where they're becoming more and more familiar with your brand. They're seeing you everywhere. They're hearing you everywhere. So after the fifth, sixth, seventh time, if they've chosen to go and do a search for pest control and they see you again with all these great reviews, subconsciously or consciously, they are going to at least give you a shot because there is trust now built into, you know, all that branding work that you've done. Was there any channel though that worked particularly well, or a strategy on a specific channel that worked particularly well? And I guess you would have to have the attribution strategies in place to identify that. But assuming that's in place, any specific tips on a channel that maybe some people aren't trying that are worth a shot?
So they're not trying. I mean, if you ask me, like, our best probably it's SEO and online. I mean, SEO by far is where we're getting the most people. I mean, you have to, what we found out last year, you also have to ask people more in depth. So we always ask all our customers, how did you find us? You know, and a lot of people are like, oh, I found you on Google. So they see our reviews and that's how they found us. And then we use CallRail for tracking, like with you guys with the PPC and things like that. But also we've had some people, like we send flyers out, we have tracking phone numbers on it. And they call that tracking phone number. It's like, well, how did you find us? Oh, we saw you on Google. Well, then why did you call the tracking phone number on the flyer? Well, what happens is they saw the flyer, they went to Google, they saw the reviews, and then they called us. So the last thing they saw was the reviews. So that's how they actually found us. But what actually initiated the whole thing was the flyer that we sent out. So having tracking and knowing, hey, what's actually working, having those tracking phone numbers, to me, is huge. Because if you don't track what's working, you're just going to spend and waste a lot of money. And even like we wasted money on marketing. I mean, you never know until you try. There's been some, as I call it, like direct mail flyers that we've done, and they were horrible. And then we switched it up and went with a different company, got a lot better rates, we'll put it that way, and made it so it was actually profitable. So also looking at it, tracking, seeing kind of what's working. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, direct mail is dead. It's like, well, if you do it the right way, you have the right offer on it, that it is actually a unique offer, then they're good with that, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And you made a couple of great points there. One is that it's important to recognize that people are going to do their research, right? Because if someone sees your company name, whether it's a flyer on a commercial, the chances of them immediately assuming that you're a good company to contact and have come out is fairly slim. I don't have data to know exactly what those numbers look like, but chances are a person who hears about you is going to first go to Google and type in all solutions pest control reviews, right? Or just your company name to try to find out more about you. And Google is going to surface, you know, what your online reputation is. And the common thread throughout this conversation that we're having is the importance of reviews. Is there a specific strategy that you guys have used to ensure that reviews are consistently coming in?
Yeah, we've done different incentives with our guys to try to help get reviews. We never can pay a customer or anything like that because you can get in trouble with Google. So everything we've done has been good on that end. But you can always, you know, help incentivize your technicians to push for reviews. We've done the text messages afterwards. We've done email automation. But like you're talking about Google, we also try to make sure we had some good ones on like the BBB, Facebook, Yelp, Angie List, a few other ones when they're looking at it. It's not, hey, just Google's awesome. It's like, hey, look, there's several other places that we have decent reviews on. And as you can, I think we've talked before, you're never going to have a perfect rating. And almost if you have like a 5.0 rating, it almost looks fake. I think we have like a 4.8. We still have a good rating. But at the end of the day, you're going to have some people that come and leave your review. And one person left us a bad review. I think this was on Angie's List because he called in. He wanted us to come out there and do a one shot. And he lived like in an apartment. And we don't service actually apartment buildings. and we wouldn't do it. And he left us a review because we would not come and do a one shot for him. We never serviced him or anything. He was just mad that we wouldn't come out and do it. It's like, well, you can't really do much about that review. Yes, we don't go service apartment buildings, usually because we ran into issues with landlords. They already have it. And then if we service their building and push roaches into the next building, well, then who's responsible for that? So if we do something like that, we require a little bit more information / talking to the landlord and the apartment complex. And then usually they're like, no, we've got it covered. So we fab out. It's usually best just to say, no, not unless we do the whole building. We're not just going to come do one-off units.
I love that you understand and are okay with the cons of what comes with, you know, asking for reviews or just having an online reputation. Cause I find that most operators you're going to fall into one of two camps. Either you're playing offense and you're trying to get reviews and you just understand and accept that some bad reviews are going to come in, or you play defense because you're so afraid of getting a negative review that you don't end up really being able to get enough reviews to catch up to all your competitors who are willing to be playing offense and actually collecting reviews. And clearly it's paid off for you guys because you have a stellar reputation. You rank very high in the map pack. And if someone looks you guys up, then it's pretty clear cut that you do a good job. Even if there are some people like this guy in the apartment who's going to
leave a bad review.
And I think if someone reads that, they're also going to recognize how maybe silly this person is and potentially even ignore that review because they're like, this is clearly, then, you know, he didn't even get service. So why is he leaving a bad review? Right.
And that's what some of those reviews aren't bad. It's like, oh, they'll read your review and realize, oh, that person's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, I think this has been incredibly tactical and useful for anyone, especially just getting started to help them grow their pest control business. So I really appreciate your time. Are there any other tips that we didn't cover pertaining to growing your marketing growing your pest control company that you think would be useful for someone who is, you know, at your size or smaller to grow?
Like I said, but really, if you're starting off really local SEO, working with you guys for PPC, even if it's a small budget, but you at least get something coming in, and then making sure you have people on the phone that know what they're saying. And even if it's, say, it's your office secretary or something like that, whether it's him or her, make sure they know what they're doing and how to close. And it's okay to overcome a couple objections. So initially when we started, we were a little nervous to be pushy on the phone. We're not super pushy right now, but I always tell them they need to overcome at least 2 to 3 objections. So then if not, they just call the next pest control company, say they call it Orkin or Terminix. They have highly paid sales guys on the phone and they're going to close them. So our job is to get them while they can. And yes, you're not going to close every single one, but if you try to overcome 1 or 2 objections, your rate of close is a lot higher.
Yeah, I would say in my experience of working with several pest control companies at this point, if you don't have someone who's good on the phone and is willing to overcome a couple of objections, you might get 1 out of every 4 leads who calls in. If you have someone who is highly trained, for example, at the door knocking company pest control company where I used to knock doors, they had a door knocker answering the phones and they would close every other person who called in. So, you know, over the long run, if you're closing twice as many leads as the company who doesn't have someone trained, I mean, that adds up to initially thousands and then eventually, you know, millions of dollars, you know, in lost revenue. So that's a great point. Again, I really appreciate your time. This was very insightful and useful. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me.